Good morning. Is our God awesome? You know, we're singing the songs there about he's eternal, he's everlasting, he's immortal. So it's like he goes on forever, you know, there's no beginning or end to him. He's everlasting, you know, you have that make of everlast and things wear out. But actually our God never wears out, you know, he goes on forever and he's immortal. He never dies, you know. And I don't know what kind of week you've had this week. You might have had a great week, or you might have had a hard week. And you might have had a week where you feel like, I've just had to stand this week. And you know what? That's all right, because it doesn't depend on us. But our God is everlasting, and he goes on forever, and he is with us. And this morning, we're going to have Carolyn to speak. Now, yay! Yeah. Now, if you know Carolyn, you love Carolyn. And this morning, if you don't know her, you'll get to know of something of who she is and how much she loves our God. And Carolyn, we don't see much of Carolyn because she works, she actually leads the children's work, which actually isn't in this building. So Carolyn actually, in one sense, misses a lot of what goes on here, which is an amazing, it's a gift of faith actually to be able to do that, because you know yourselves, if you were serving somewhere, like if you're in the creche or if you were, you know, somewhere else outside the meeting, it's a challenge, isn't it? Because you feel like you kind of missed out. But actually, Carolyn, for years, has worked in the kids' work, not because she wants to miss out, but because she just loves God and she serves him. So this morning, we just want to honour Carolyn and receive what she's going to share with us this morning. So if you just welcome Carolyn, and I'll pray for her. And some of you know Ian. He's usually up here every week, and he's just going to put the lamp on, I think. Well, Ian is Carolyn's husband. Yay! So I'm just going to pray for Carolyn. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your love, and we thank you that you are a God who is everlasting, who is immortal, and who goes on forever. And we thank you, Lord, that you love us so much that you stand with us every day. And Father, I pray for Carolyn now, and we just thank you for the gift of her life and for her beautiful heart, Lord, how much she loves you and serves you. And Father, I pray that you will just bless her today with your Holy Spirit, that you will fill her, that you will anoint her, and all these words that you wanted to share, I pray that our hearts will be ready and open to receive from you, from Carolyn, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
You may be wondering why there's a lamp there, but we'll talk about that later. I'm kind of a props person, so I make no apology. Last time I spoke, I had a samurai sword, I think. So it's not quite the same this morning. But anyway, I want to. This week's been really kind of random, really. Everything that could happen in one week has kind of happened in this week. You know, I planned in my mind what I was going to do this week, and it's kind of basically not very much, and I wanted to kind of get ready for this morning. But everything just came at me, you know, everything that had daft things, hilarious things now when I look back on it, really. Ian's car went in for a service and he said, oh, can you take me to get my car? So I did that, and it was on the every day that I'd set my sights on what I was going to do, it kind of all went out the window. And then Joel in the playground says to me, you know that trip you're taking me on? This is on the morning. I was taking Ian to the car backwards and forwards on the morning, so this was my free afternoon. He says to me, you know that trip you were taking me on? He went, you're taking me on it? I said, what do you mean? I said, I don't know anything about it. He went, no, you're taking me on it. I went, I haven't heard. He went, there's a letter. I went, right, I haven't seen the letter. He went, yeah, it's in my drawer at school. I went, well, it's no good in there. And he said, I said, when is it? And he went, I'm not sure. I said, well, go and get me the letter. So he gets the letter and comes back out very sheepish, hands me a letter with his head down like this. And he went, it's on the 21st. And I went, when's that? He went, this afternoon. And I'm like, oh, Joel. He went, no, it's all right if you don't, can't do it. So everything. So that was just one thing. And alarms were going off at 7 o'clock in the morning when I was sat doing my word. The whole street was up. Oh, it was hilarious. But anyway, there we go. So I've had an interesting week. I want to talk this morning about one scripture in the Bible. And it's Romans 10, verse 17, it says, so then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And in the context that that was written, it was about the fact that the Israelites, the people of God, you know, they didn't understand who Jesus was. They couldn't see that he was the Savior. But I was thinking about faith. It starts off by then, so then faith. And everything about Christianity is based on faith, isn't it? You know, we believe in that Jesus is the Son of God. We believe that he came, that he died, and that he rose 3 days later. Our faith, everything about what we are or what we stand for as Christians is about something we can't see. You know, we worship Jesus. We can't actually physically see him, but we can feel him. You know, this morning has been quite powerful, hasn't it, with the presence of the Holy Spirit in this place, you know, and the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And Sarah shared in what she shared about, you know, surrendering it all to God. You know, surrendering, you know, dare we surrender it all to God? And that's what faith is. It's not about, you know, fear can have no existence where faith is involved. Faith is about leaving it all in God's hands. And we were out last night for a friend's 40th birthday, and very interesting conversation on what different people thought about faith, God, and stuff. And one lady was saying, I can't have faith. I don't get that faith. Because when I have faith in my family and my friends, because I can see them. And that's fairly easy, isn't it? But I wouldn't call that faith. It is kind of faith. You can have faith to believe that your car's going to take you home when you leave here today. But that's because you know that generally when you press the button or turn the key, it starts. Faith in a supernatural God is very different. You're putting your trust in something that you can't see, not always feel, but know that he's there. Sometimes you don't know he's there, and that's when faith kicks in even more. When you have to trust and believe that the plans for your life are in his hands and the plans that he has are good. When everything around you is crashing in and causing you pain, suffering, you don't get it, and you think, where are you in this? But that's when faith stands the test of time, isn't it? You know, there's been times in my own life where I haven't been able to move forward because I've just had to stand and believe and trust God that he's going to get me through certain situations. When I went through a time of work where I came out of work and I was really depressed, I was off with work-related stress, but I was depressed, really. I was a shell of a person. And God took me on a journey of dealing with that for a long period of time. And all I could do was just to believe that God was taking me from the point I was at to a point of freedom. My faith, I had to trust God that he would bring me through that situation. And when I look back over it, there's certain times in that journey where I thought, yep, I'm through this. But then someone would mention the company that I work for and I'd think, And I'd think, ooh, actually I'm not quite over that yet. And then I have to deal with something else again. Or I would drive past. One of the key things for me was driving past the offices. And every time I drove past, something would well up inside and I'd have to pray through it and surrender it to God again. And then, that was the year before Joel was born. Joel's nearly 7 now, so this is 8 years ago. And then at Christmas last year, just gone, I drove down the road to collect a Christmas present. And as I was driving down the road, I just drove past the building. Didn't think anything of it. Found myself praying for the managing director of the company. And I thought, thank you, Lord, I'm through this. It took 8 years of my journey to get through the one area of healing in my life. But my faith kept me where I was. So I didn't go back over. And I didn't progress potentially in that area. But God took me on a journey of faith and healing, really, to take me from a point of something where I was broken to a point of freedom in my life where I was able to pray for the company. And the hilarious thing about it is there's a guy who lives on our street who works for that company, so I see the van every day now. Praise the Lord. Hey, so. But I love faith. I love everything about it. I love talking to people. I love hearing their stories of where God has took a situation, turned it around, and made it amazing. Where people share about where they got healed. And like, the more you hear it, the more you something inside. The spirit just grows inside you and gets bigger and bigger. And I don't know whether that's what I felt this morning as we came in. You know, there's this little thing inside me, but as things have been said and as the worship's gone on, the spirit has grown inside me. And it's like God just wants to explode out of us with it. You know, that there's so much that he has for us that if we actually just surrender it down to him, it's only when we surrender it down and trust in him that he can allow it to kind of be fulfilled and move out in us. It says, you know, faith itself is mentioned like 247 times in the Bible, but in the word faith, this is only in the New King James Version. Apparently it changes in different versions. Twice in the Old Testament, which I found was quite interesting, and then 245 in the New Testament. And a lot of that was with Jesus' teaching, you know, or you with little faith, or your faith has made you well. You know, disciples were around Jesus every day, and they were the ones that got criticized or pulled up from Jesus by having lack of faith. Those people that weren't in his inner circle are the ones that had more faith. They were the ones that had heard stories about this person and in their heart believed that God could do something and would press in. You know, like the woman that was bleeding for years. If I can just touch his garment, I'll be healed. You know, people in here today, if you could just stretch out and touch God for what you need, that's where faith comes. That's where God moves, and he delights in seeing us excited about that, about trusting him and pushing in. And if we could just reach out and touch, you know, the stories in the Bible where people's lives, where they had to believe and they had to trust, like Moses, you know, he had to believe that God was taking a chosen name. I'd asked him to take the Israelites out of Egypt. And he was following God. But in following God, it's an act of faith. It's an act of doing what God wants us to do. David, being king, was called to be king. You know, he had a period of time in his life where he wasn't king. He knew he was going to be king. And he was hiding. He was fearful of his life. But he had to keep trusting God. He had to have faith in God. Joseph, you know, God gave him all those dreams when he was young. But then his brothers sell him. He's put in prison. You know, he's a slave. Many things happen in his life before God brings him through those situations. Abraham and Sarah, they were promised a child. You know, they were well in age before they actually had a child. You know, there's a process in faith. It doesn't always happen straight away. Sometimes there's a journey in between. You know, Margaret said that I'm out a lot with the kids. I'm on a journey with that, believe it or not. When I was 16, I really felt that God called me into children's work. And so I started working in children's work. And then we went away on a conference to when I was about 20, 21, I think. And in the conference, the presence of the Holy Spirit was so real, and I got a picture of me leading the kids' work. And in the kids' work, you know, there was hundreds and hundreds of children, and there was anointed workers, anointed people in the team leading up this thing, and the ministry was ginormous. The children's work had their own worship band. The kids led their own worship. They were involved in dance ministry. They were involved in sort of puppet ministry. Phenomenal ministry. Absolutely phenomenal. And I was like, yeah, yeah. And then when you're young, you're like quite proud, aren't you? You can do this, you can do that. And then God took me on a journey, or is still taking me on a journey through this. I haven't stopped believing that what he showed me when I was 16 will fail to come to pass. I believe it will. But where I'm at now is I've been doing it for about 4 years since then. I wish. And in that journey, I've had to surrender it. I've had to confess that I've been proud, that I thought that I'm the chosen one. God's had to deal with stuff in my life on that journey. And we're at a point now where I can see it coming together. When I look at the team that we have, they're awesome. Every one of them has got a unique ministry that would fit into it. Can I see a worship team and a worship band happening? I can, because there's people in there that are musically talented. I mean, I couldn't do it. But there is people there. Can I see people leading them in sort of dance, praise and worship stuff through dance? Yeah, because there's talented people in that team that can do that. Can I see them being led mightily in prophetic, delivering prophetic words? Yeah, because there's many prophetic people in that team. God is going to do something through this church with every age group, and that is, and I know that, I know that, I know that, because God's shown me, and he's shown many other people, and my faith sometimes just means I have to stand still, surrender it to God, surrender it again, and believe in my own heart that what he promised, he will fulfill. There was a man. It said, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7 says, we walk by faith and not by sight. You know, that's what it is. We don't know the end result. Sometimes God shows us a snippet of the blueprint of what he wants to do. But wouldn't it be, you know, faith wouldn't work if he came down from heaven and put out a scroll here and said to me, now, this is when you were born, when you were 7, you know, this would happen. You'd have a great, when you were 3, you'd give your life to me. When you were 7, you'd have an awesome encounter with me. You'd tell everyone at school that if they didn't become Christians, they were going to go to hell. When you were 10, you know, when you were 10, you were praying for people's legs to grow in the one area of the school, and the teachers were trying to kick you out of the school, and you were like, hang on a minute, I haven't prayed for so-and-so, you know. And then when you were 11, you decided that you didn't want to admit that that you went to church. You know, decisions that you make in your life, that was a decision I made. My close friends knew I went to church, but everyone else at school didn't, and I really didn't want them to. You know, that had an impact on the next 5 years, 6 years of my life. Decisions that we make impact our lives. You know, we need to be asking God to help us make the right decisions. You know, but it, you know, if he'd have showed me that years ago, I might have thought, actually, I won't make that decision. I'll make the right decision because I know that God's with me. You know, there's a song by Carrie Job that says, I am not alone. And like, it's a powerful, powerful song. It talks about that he's with you, he's in front of you, behind you, and all around you. And he is. Sometimes we don't feel him. A lot of the time we don't feel him, but he's there. He is always there. There was a Swiss minister, who was actually still alive today, who as part of his ministry, he really felt God calling him to go into hospitals and tell people, to just be alongside those people who had no one to visit them, to get alongside them, have a cup of tea with them, and if the opportunity arose, tell them and pray with them that Jesus loved them and pray with them. And he did this for about 10, 15 years. He kept doing it and doing it, doing it religiously on a Monday. Every Monday, he kept going in and doing it. This one week he thought, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? It's nothing of it. It's just dead works. And he felt the Holy Spirit challenge him about his attitude towards doing it, actually. Because he'd lost his love. He'd lost his love. What God had put in his heart, the first love, about how important this ministry was, or he felt that God had given him to do, he'd lost it somewhere along the line. And he got down before God and confessed and said, you know, sorry. I'm so sorry that I've lost my love for you and my passion for telling people about you. And he went again, set off on the next Monday after confessing to God. And as he was driving to the hospital, he felt the Holy Spirit prompting him to pull over in a lay-by on the way there. So he pulled over into this lay-by and was like, what is it, Lord? What are you saying to me? And he felt like the Holy Spirit said to him, see that house with the blue door? I want you to go and knock at that door and tell them about me. And he was like, oh, I can't do that. That's frightening. That's not going to the hospital. And God was like, no, but it's about loving people. So he was like, right. So he like prayed and then got out of the car, went to the door, went to knock on the door, and fear gripped him. And he thought, I can't do it. I really can't do it. He thought, right, I know what I'll do. I'll go back to the car, get one of my business cards, put that through the letterbox. So he went back to the car, wrote felt God said I should pray for you, and was going to put it through the letterbox. And as he got back to the door, he went to push the card through the letterbox. As he went to do that, the door opened. Isn't God amazing? And as the door opened, he saw a lady on her knees in the passageway of this house with a gun at her head. And it's like, oh my word. And as he pushed the door ajar, the lady's partner had hold of the gun at her head. And he said, and this guy was crying, the guy with the gun was crying. And the minister says to this guy, what are you doing? He went, Jesus, God sent me to you because Jesus loves you. And he said, I cried out to God and said, if you're there, tell me you love me. Show me you love me. And this guy, because of faith, because he'd surrendered his life to God and confessed all that blocked the first love, went to that door and was able to lead this couple to Christ. Isn't that awesome? Absolutely awesome. And his whole church changed because of that one couple. You know, we have no idea when we're out and about doing our daily jobs and stuff. If God challenges us to say something or do something, we have no idea what the impact of that will have. We can choose to do what God's saying, or we could choose to ignore it. Which then leads me on to my hearing. It says, faith. We talked about faith comes by hearing. Hearing, what are we tuned into? What do you listen to? What music do you listen to? What do you watch on TV? What do you listen to? What's important to you? Ian drives all over the country quite a lot. So he spends a lot of time in his car. And I thought, what can I give him that'll be? What present can I give him that won't just be clothes, because he loves clothes, but be something nice for him to have? And that was second on the list. So I bought him the full Bible on DVD. On CD. He wouldn't better watch it, would he? And it was by David Suchet, is it? Poirot. Hercule Poirot. And his voice is incredible. Have you ever listened to his voice? And so when Ian goes off now, he's got him and Poirot like do the Bible together. They solve mysteries all the way down the A1. It's incredible. And but you know, for me, when we read the Bible, we can get it before us and we can read it, can't we? Like quietly read it in our mind. But there's something powerful about reading it out loud. And for me, I love getting my Bible and declaring scripture whenever I'm in the house on my own. So if anyone came in my house and you see me walking around with my Bible, declaring scriptures and stuff, they think I'm a lunatic, some of the neighbours. But there is, you know, Genesis chapter 1 talks about God creating the world. God spoke it into being, and that's been mentioned this morning. You know, it was by his words that he spoke creation. And creation responded because they heard it. You know, creation can hear. It says that in Mark 4:41 that the winds and waves, you know, obeyed. So clearly they can hear. If you know, when Jesus said, be still, they were still. So, you know, Sunday morning preachers are incredible, especially this morning, no? Are absolutely incredible. The talent that we have, you know, the God-given gifts and, you know, that people have in the church to bring thoughts of God is awesome, you know. So that's stuff we can listen to. We can grow. We can hear what God's saying through that. And as a child and a teenager and growing up, one of the things I used to love was sitting and having conversations with my dad about the stuff in the Bible. Because when we had conversations about the Bible, it became alive. Something inside stirred, something got excited, and I'd be like, and you know, I get really animated and want to talk about stuff. And with my brother as well, Stephen, great conversations with my brother Stephen. If you ever, ever want to have good, powerful conversations that raise your spirits, see my dad or see our Stephen. They've got every day free. But, you know, getting with people who can encourage you. Get the word of God. You meet someone for a coffee and you're a bit down. Don't talk about how down you are. Talk about something you've read in your Bible. Or ask them what they've... If you've got nothing to offer, ask them what they've read in their Bible, because I'm sure they will build you up. Most encouraging things is having Christians around you that encourage you by what they say. So, and that, you know, what you hear encourages you. It does something in your spirit and makes you want something more. It does for me anyway. It says in Psalm 18, verse 21, it says that there's life and death are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat the fruits of it. I really want to eat the fruits of something powerful, of something good. I don't want to eat the fruits of something and speak the fruits of something of death. You know, every time, you know, when we're in situations, it's very easy to be quite negative, isn't it? To think, to complain, to be defeated, to be negative. That's not seeing God's perspective. That's not hearing God's perspective, because my word tells me that for everything I need, he is that. He is my strength. He is my strong tower. He is my rock. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer. Everything I need, he tells me that he is in that situation for me. Sometimes I've got to find it. You know, I've got to dig deep and find out what he's saying. But it is in there that he will be all that I need. And that is what I need to cling on to. That is what I need to cling on to. When everything else around me is falling apart and all over the place, I've got to believe that God's word is true. I've got to believe it. And I've got to look at it and take that one scripture that says that he is in that situation, stick it on my fridge, stick it everywhere, learn it by heart, declare it out loud so the Holy Spirit can dance all over it and change that situation for me and move in those situations for me, because it's true. If I believe that God's word is true, it is true. It's got to be true. As I declare it, I'm made in God's image. I am made in God's image, and you are made in his image. When I speak his word, his Holy Spirit will move all over it, will change situations, because I'm declaring his word. It's his word. It's true. You know, we're sat here because we believe God's word is true. So if I'm saying his word, he will move with it. It's awesome, isn't it? You know, when I said earlier on in Mark 4:41 that even the winds and waves obey him, sometimes we need stories, don't we? I like stories because, again, it builds my faith up. And my granddad was great at telling stories. I lived the first 10 years of my life on his knee like this, listening to every word that he said. He was a Christian. He was mighty things happened when he prayed, you know, awesome man of God. So his stories not only were God-given stories, God-filled stories, but he also tell us stuff that they used to do early on in their lives, which were hilarious. Things he got up to in his life was incredible. And he used to tell stories about many, many things. But one of the stories he told us was about my great-great-grandfather. It was a man called Thomas Fraser. And my granddad's side of the family came from Shetland. So if you've never heard where that is, it's like the northernest point of islands off Aberdeen, right in the middle of this North Sea. And that's where they came from as a family. And my great-granddad, Thomas was a fisherman. I'm reckoning, 200 years ago, he'd probably have been around. So I can't imagine that the fishing boats in them days were quite as sturdy as they are today. I can imagine they're a bit, I don't think it's a job I would like to do now, never mind 200 years ago. And off the North Sea, the weather is horrendous up there. I think they get about 2 days sunshine in Shetland. You know, it's just like really, it's really dark. And yep, my cousins never listened to this. and so when they were out this one day fishing, bit of a freak of weather, you know, how weather can suddenly change. And they were in a massive storm, wind, waves crashing in all around them, to the point where they thought that the boat was going to break. And my granddad, being a man of faith, stood up in the boat, remembered what he'd read in his Bible about how Jesus, when he was in a boat asleep, surrounded by the disciples who were full of fear, stood up in his boat, raised his hand to the sea and to the waves, and told them to be still in the name of Jesus. And guess what? They were. Because he'd read in his word something that was true. He believed in his heart that when Jesus calmed the storm, that he was made in God's image, and when he did something in the name of Jesus, then God, well, the Holy Spirit would move. And it did. It did. He raised his hand, and in the name of Jesus, the wind, the waves calmed down, and it was perfect peace around him. Isn't that incredible? So the word of God, you know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, you know. In there's many ways the word is. You know, I've spoke about of speaking. We speak, we declare things. You know, prophets bring the word for us. You know, Isaiah, Jeremiah, we have prophets in here today that bring incredible words from God. And the Bible, you know, I'm sharing from the Bible. But our most powerful, we're at our most powerful when we surrender it all to God. And we allow faith to take over. When we trust in the word and believe it with all our heart. It's, you know, Psalm 119 verse 105 says, "Your word is like a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway." Cue my light. Ta-da! There we go. If that, now this is what I'm doing, if that is my word, okay? Your word is like a lamp unto my feet. God's word is a lamp unto my feet. It's not, I can be walking through life and come into a situation and I don't know what to do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet. I can choose to step over it and ignore it and do my own thing, or walk past it, or I can choose to pick it up. Can't read it when it's down there at my feet. I know it's there, but I have a choice to make to pick it up. You know, when I pick it up, it goes from being a light to my feet to a lamp, isn't it? Pick it up. I can see so much more now. If it was darker, it would work, wouldn't it? With that up there. Ooh.
It's a miracle.
I can see so much more, or less now, when I hold it up. When I pick it up and I choose. Well, that was helping me see there. Hey, there we go. And actually bring it to me where I can see it. Hold it close. It's incredibly more effective held close. How many times do you pick your word up and read it? How many times, you know, sometimes, and you say, well, you know what? It's hard to get into. It is sometimes, you know. It's a journey. You know, it says in the Bible, train up your children in the way should they go. And when they get older, they won't depart from it. You have to train yourself. We train our children, but we train ourselves. We've got to be disciplined to pick it up, read it. And sometimes when it's hard, you know, just read it, and you read it, and you read it, and then eventually you have a breakthrough, and then you keep going, and then your faith just goes boom. Because everything you're reading, God's speaking to you through it. And even in the times where you're not thinking that God's speaking to you through it, actually, he's sowing seeds in your life. Sowing tiny little seeds that one day will be watered and be used. You know, God's word, sometimes it's hard. It corrects us. It guides us. It instructs us. It leads us. It teaches us. It confirms things to us. You know, you might be in a situation, you do I do this? Do I do that? Try and find an answer in the word of God. Ask somebody that's maybe more mature in the Christian faith whether there's something in the scripture that can back up a decision that you need to make. Pray about it. Faith grows by hearing and hearing the word of God. If you're reading your word, you're hearing God's voice. When you're declaring it and reading it out loud, you're hearing it audibly. When you read it spiritually, your spirit is feeding on it and growing. Over the last couple of weeks, I was thinking about C.S. Lewis, you know, the Chronicles of Narnia. And you know, when Lucy goes through the wardrobe for the first time and she's into this other world, this incredible world of creatures she's never seen before, speaking animals and in an awesome world that exists. But she knows that her life, you know, exists in the normal, in her world as well, in the everyday world of where her parents, she's not seeing her parents, her dad's at war and her mum's living away. So there's these two worlds going on, very different but connected. That is like my Bible. And where I am living on earth, in the life that I have, but my Bible, when I open it, opens up a whole new world, a heavenly world. I see things differently. My attitude to life's differently. God shows me things in the supernatural, in the world of Narnia, if you like, that is incredible. And he shows you it too when you open it up and you get into it. And God uses his word to reveal his heart for us as a people, for us as a church. You know, to take up stairs is an incredible step of faith. It's an awesome step of faith, though, isn't it? And all we've got to do is trust God, pray about it, fast. You know, everything we've done as a church, we've looked in the word, we've prayed, we've fasted, and we've come before God. You know, that back room took 2 years, 2 years to get, because, I mean, it's all God's timing as well. We're at a point now where the kids' work's going to go boom, which is awesome, and it's going to do that out there. God's took us on a journey as workers of bringing us together, moulding us as individuals, moulding us as a group of people, and the team is a great team. It's a good, solid group of people. But it's took 2 years of prayer, 2 years of fasting, 2 years of repenting, confessing before God. And when we got to the point where we thought, we are just not going to see a breakthrough here. This is just, what are you saying, Lord? And at that point, God moved. You know, and in your lives and my lives, every day you might think, I'm doing this and I'm doing it. And I'm doing it. I'm seeing no breakthrough. But you know what? Keep going. Keep trusting. Keep believing. Keep reading. Because God will reveal to you something of his plan and his purpose and his spirit when you pray, when you fast, and when you get into your word. They're all linked. You know, and I just want to end with this bit. If you can get ready for me, please, that'd be really good. When God had the conversation with Moses about sending it, go to Egypt and let my people go, Moses says to him, and who shall I say sent me? And God said, I am. Tell them I am has sent you. Many years ago when I read that, I thought, two very small words, but very powerful words. I am. I am. I am. What does that mean? You know, an I am is whatever situation you're in right now, I am is I am in that situation. God is what you need. When you turn to him because you feel really down, I am is there for you. You know, if you are at a point where all you can do is stay still because things are going on around you, I am is your shelter in times of trouble. You know, if you've lost someone really close to you, I am is there for you. He loves you and he's got his arm around you and he's there for you. If you have a decision to make about maybe your job or something, or the job that you're in, you want to come out of it, I am is there in that situation. He is the answer to those, every situation we come across. And if as long as we go to him, he will be everything that we need. I'm going to show a little clip from a DVD now, and it's a man who's just sharing his heart, really, on it's incredible, really. It's the power of words. I just want you to get the power of words, really. And he declares words that are true about who God is and how Jesus is. And this is like I am. When you watch it, think of I am, think of your life and what you need right now. I am is everything that you need. and want him to be. And this guy just declares something powerful about God.
If there are words for him, then I don't have them. You see, my brain has not yet reached a point where it could form a thought that could adequately describe the greatness of my God. And my lungs have not yet developed the ability to release a breath with enough agility to breathe out the greatness of his love. And my voice, you see, my voice is so inhibited, restrained by human limits, that it's hard to even send a praise up. You see, if there are words for him, then I don't have them. My God, his grace is remarkable. Mercies are innumerable. Strength is impenetrable. He is honorable, accountable, favorable. He's unsearchable yet knowable. Indefinable yet approachable. Indescribable yet personal. He is beyond comprehension, further than imagination. Constant through generations, King of every nation. But if there are words for him, then I don't have them. You see, my words are few, and to try and capture the one true God using my vocabulary would never do. But I use words as an expression of worship to a Savior who is both worthy and deserving of my praise. So I use words. My heart extols the Lord, blesses his name forever. He has won my heart, captured my mind, and has bound them both together. He has defeated me in my rebellion, conquered me in my sin. He has welcomed me into his presence, completely invited me in. He has made himself the object of my sight, flooding me with mercies in the morning, drowning me with grace in the night. But if there are words for him, then I don't have them. But what I do have is good news. For my God knew that man-made words would never do. For words are just tools that we use to point to the truth. So he sent his son, Jesus Christ, as the word, living proof. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, giving nothingness formation. And by his word he sustains in the power of his name. For he is before all things, and over all things he reigns. Holy is his name, so praise him for his life. The way he persevered in strife, the humble Son of God becoming the perfect sacrifice. Praise him for his death. That he willingly stood in our place, that he lovingly endured the grave, that he battled our enemy and on the third day rose in victory. He is everything that was promised. Praise him as a risen king. Lift your voice and sing, for one day he will return for us and we will finally be united with our Savior for eternity. Eternity. So it's not just words that I proclaim, for my words point to the word, and the word has a name. Hope has a name. Joy has a name. Peace has a name. Love has a name. And that name is Jesus Christ. Praise his name forever.
Round of applause for Carolyn. That was fantastic. Absolutely awesome. Awesome. Let's just close our eyes. I want you to see those hundreds and hundreds of kids who are going to get saved and are going to fill the premises that the Holy Spirit is going to give us. I want you to see those hundreds and hundreds of cars queuing up to get in here to hear about Jesus Christ. I want you to see yourself not as you are now, not as you are now, but as an awesome leader in a revival that will go across Europe and to the ends of the earth. See yourself now in the Holy Spirit. No matter what your age, no matter where you think you are, no matter what your problems you're facing, you are here now for such a time as this. You are in this meeting today, not by accident. I believe that with all my heart. If you're here for the first time, God bless you. You've come to the right place. We're going to worship Jesus, but I want you to see in the Holy Spirit as we do. See and believe. And what you see, believe. Believe.
The stone was rolled away. His perfect love could not be overcome. Now death, where is your sting? Our resurrected King has rendered you defeated. Forever He is glorified. Forever He is lifted high.
Why don't you just claim your inheritance right now? Where you stand, lift your hands to heaven, reach up for everything that God has for you, all your plans, your heavenly destiny, and draw it close to you now in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, will you fill this place with your Holy Spirit right now? Come, Lord Jesus, and have your way in this place. Father, we are stepping out of base camp in faith this morning to see the salvation of millions on this planet, Lord. You choose the weak to shame the strong. Choose us. Use us right now this morning. Wherever your weakness, it's God's plan. Wherever your frailties, it's God's plan. Come, Holy Spirit, in this place right now. The ground began to shake.
The stone was rolled away. His perfect love could not be overcome. Now death, where is your sting?